In the end, it took them a day and a night, and most of the next day, of slow, hard slogging through the jungle and mud and rain, to reach St. Bee's Mission. They drank water from occasional standing pools. It tasted brackish and gave them all a mild case of the runs, but at least they were able to keep it down. They'd been less lucky trying to discover which parts of the jungle it was safe to eat. Most of it came straight back up again, tasting twice as bad in the process. There was no real shelter from the rain, so they spent the night sitting miserably together around a tree, trying to snatch what sleep they could. By the time they reached the mission, they were tired, cold, hungry, and very wet. There was no warning. They just forced their way through yet another series of closely set trees and found themselves looking out into a wide clearing with the mission set squarely in the middle. It was huge. There was about 20 feet of open ground, and then a tall wooden wall marked the outer boundary of the mission. The wall had been constructed of tightly packed black tree trunks and looked reassuringly solid. The mission itself was more of a small village, with a long slanting wooden roof covering everything within its walls. A single gate faced them, some 12 feet tall and 10 wide, with a wooden watchtower on each side.
Definitely a low-tech world. Hate to see what a disruptor cannon would do to that wall. Hate to think what their plumbing's like.
Owen stepped out into the clearing, and the watchtower sentry spotted him immediately and sounded the alarm. Owen led his party slowly across the open space. Armed men appeared on a catwalk inside the top of the outer wall. They were cloaked and hooded figures, some with energy weapons, most with bows and arrows.
"Everyone keep your hands conspicuously away from your weapons."
Owen kept a careful eye on the watchtower sentries. One had what appeared to be a telescope trained on the newcomers. Hopefully, once they'd identified the approaching party as human and not Hayden Man, the armed figures on the wall would calm down a little. But Owen still kept himself ready to dodge a nervous arrow if he had to. Tired as he was pretty sure he could dodge an arrow. Hell, he could probably shoot the bowman's head off before he'd even finished pulling back his bowstring, but he thought he'd better not. Definitely not the best way to make a good first impression with St. Bee. Mother Beatrice, he thought firmly. She hates being called St. Bee. His party made it all the way to the front gate without anyone on either side developing a twitchy finger, and Owen looked up at the left-hand watchtower, blinking through the pouring rain.
Owen Deathstalker and party, here at the request of Mother Superior Beatrice Christiana. How about letting us in before we all drown out here?
Say where you are! We sent a runner to the Mother Superior. She'll have to identify you.
Don't be a prat all your life, son. That's the Deathstalker, all right. Seen his face on a dozen holodocumentaries before I came here. He's a hero of the Rebellion. And that's Hazel Dark beside him.
That's Hazel Dark? Oh, bloody hell. Isn't it bad enough being a leper without having her here too? Please let me shoot her. It'll save a lot of trouble in the long run.
Owen looked at Hazel.
Your reputation is spreading.
Good. Now tell them to get a move on or I'll kick their gate in and make them eat the hinges.
Oh, no, no, no. Please leave our gate alone. It's the only one we've got. Give us a minute to draw back the bolts, and we'll let you in. The Mother Superior will be here soon, and there'll be hot food and dry clothes for all of you.
And a leash for Hazel Dark.
I heard that.
Do you know who I am?
No.
Then I think I'll keep it that way.
The gate creaked open while Hazel was still trying to come up with a suitably devastating reply, and all animosity was forgotten as Owen and his party hurried inside. Glad to get out of the rain at last. The gate opened into a wide square or compound, already half full of cloaked and hooded figures, with more arriving all the time. They all had their hoods pulled well forward to hide their faces, making the crowd eerily alike and anonymous, like a convention of somewhat tattered gray ghosts. Owen stood dripping before them, listening to the very pleasant and reassuring sound of the rain drumming on the protecting roof overhead. Every part of him was soaking wet, as though he'd just stepped out of an ocean. He looked slowly around him, trying to judge his reception. Owen let the cheering go on for a while. He rather felt he'd earned it. But finally, he raised a hand to get their attention. All the hoods turned to face him, eerily expectant.
Damn, they want a speech.
It's good to be here at last. The good news is that the Empire got Mother Beatrice's call for help. The bad news is, we're all you're getting. The Empire's fighting a war for survival on half a dozen fronts at once, and we're what they can spare. But Hazel and I have been known to turn around even the most dire of situations. So, as soon as we've had a word with Mother Beatrice and brought ourselves up to speed...
I'm here.
The crowd parted silently to allow the Mother Superior to pass through them. They bowed their heads deeply as she approached. Mother Beatrice wore a simple nun's outfit with a plain wimple rather than the much more impressive robes to which her rank entitled her. A simple silver crucifix hung around her neck, and a wooden rosary hung from one hip like a drawn gun. Her face was pale and wan, with dark, steady eyes and a determined mouth.
Thank the good Lord you're here at last, Sir Deathstalker. We've been expecting you for some time. Will you introduce your companions?
Hazel Dark, I'm sure you know. Everything you've heard is true, unfortunately. The others are Barney Bedlam, Midnight Blue, and Tobias Moon. He's a Haydenman, but he's a good guy, really. Are there going to be any problems over his presence here?
No. All souls are welcome here. Anyone who feels otherwise is welcome to come and discuss the matter with me.
There was a mention of hot food and dry clothes.
Of course. Please, follow me.
She led them through the crowd, who bowed again as Owen and his party passed, though nowhere near as deeply as they'd bowed to St. B. The compound led on to a series of low buildings with narrow alleys running between them. In the center was a ramshackle wooden building the size of a barn, built like everything else from the local black trees. The rooms inside turned out to be surprisingly civilized, with all the usual amenities, if few luxuries. Owen and Moon stripped off their soaking wet clothes in one room, while the women were escorted to another. Thick hot towels were provided, and Owen rubbed himself down briskly, standing as close to the open fire as he could get. Warmth moved slowly through him, and he stretched luxuriously, as self-centered as a cat. He hadn't known there could be such pleasure in just being dry and warm. Moon went about his business with quiet thoroughness, with no obvious signs of enjoyment. The door opened, just enough for an arm to throw in two sets of simple but functional clothing, all in gray, followed by the ubiquitous hooded cloaks, and then the arm withdrew and the door closed again. Owen sorted out a set for himself. The clothes seemed sturdy enough, but showed signs of much hard use and washing. More than one leper had these before me, Owen thought uncomfortably, and tried not to wonder how many might have died wearing them. He shrugged mentally and put them on. It wasn't as if he had a choice. He glanced over at Moon, who was still toweling himself. Metal implants showed clearly all over his pale skin, but that wasn't what drew Owen's attention.
Moon?
Yes, Owen?
I understood that all Haydenmen were, desexed.
Yes. All of the sexual parts are cut away when a human becomes a Haydenman.
But you appear to have a full set of, everything.
Yes. They grew back. Other changes are taking place in my body all the time. I believe it to be a part of the changes the maze is working in me. Certain tech implants have disappeared, absorbed into my body. I don't seem to need them anymore. I have detected no lowering in my general efficiency, but I am becoming more human.
And I've been worrying about the maze making me less human.
Owen and Moon made their way to the common room, where the three women were already warming themselves before a roaring log fire. They, too, were wearing the basic gray clothes provided, complete with cloak and hood, though Hazel had lifted up the back of her skirt so she could warm her bare bottom before the fire. She grinned unconcernedly at Owen.
I see you got the basic outfit, too. Apparently gray is in this year.
I hate it. It covers far too much of me. What's the point of having tattoos and piercings if you can't show them off to everyone?
I think it's a vast improvement. You've done things to your body I wouldn't do to a dead dog. Prude. Pervert. So?
Owen gave Hazel a hard look.
All the alternates you could have called up, and you had to choose these two.
Don't you take that tone of voice with me, Owen Deathstalker. After all, you married one of them.
Luckily, the door opened at that moment, and Mother Beatrice came in. Everyone immediately shut up and managed some kind of polite smile.
Nothing like a nun entering a room to stop a conversation. Don't worry. When your mother confesses to a colony of lepers, there isn't much left that can shock you. I'm afraid those rather boring grey outfits are all the clothes we have to offer you. It's all the Empire provides. Officially, so that if anyone did get off-planet, they could be recognized immediately. More likely, it's because they're cheap. Still, the cloaks and hoods provide a useful purpose in hiding the ravages of the disease in its later stages. Most of the colonists remain largely unmarked, but they choose to wear the cloak and hood too as a sign of solidarity. There are those who flaunt their deformities, but that's mostly just a plea for attention. Don't let them bother you.
She looked at Moon for a long moment, and then turned to Owen.
You should have told me you were bringing a Haydenman with you. I have no objection to his presence, but my people have suffered much at the hands of the augmented men. I don't know how people are going to react to him. I can't guarantee his safety.
That's all right. We'll guarantee his safety by kicking the ass of anyone who even looks at him funny.
This is Tobias Moon. He turned against his own people to side with humanity.
You mean he's a traitor?
No, I mean he's a friend. We've been through a lot together. We all vouch for him. That should be enough.
It's more than enough.
Mother Beatrice put out a hand to Moon, and he shook it gravely.
I'm sorry if I seemed a little cold, Sir Moon. I've never met a Haydenman socially before.
That's all right. I've never met a saint before.
No, you still haven't. No one's ever met a saint who was alive. It's more of a posthumous award, bestowed by people who never even met the real person. Speaking of reputations, I've heard a lot about you, Hazeldark.
Eh, you don't want to believe everything you see in the Hollows.
No, I don't. Not after some of the things they've said about me. Last I heard, they were claiming I was feeding this entire colony on 5 protein cubes and 5 pints of distilled water. I wish. Now, perhaps you'd be good enough to introduce your 2 friends, whom I confess are unfamiliar to me.
Oh, sure. The tall steroids case with a butcher's axe on her hip is Midnight Blue. The S&M freak is Bonnie Bedlam. They're cousins of mine. Good fighters. Now, perhaps you'd be good enough to brief us on the current situation. I was given to understand that things were pretty desperate here, but we traveled through miles of jungle to get here, and we never saw a single Haydenman.
They come and they go. We don't know why. They started off attacking the outer settlements, but soon found they were losing more people to the jungle than in the fighting, and focused their attention here. We're the main communication center, the only starport, and the main distribution center. Whoever controls the mission controls the fate of the colony. The jungle and the weather make air attacks and ground travel impractical, so they have to come on foot. And though there are always more of them in every attack, so far we've held them off successfully. High-tech weaponry doesn't last long here. The rain gets into everything. So most of the fighting has been hand-to-hand, steel-on-steel, which gives us the advantage.
Even so, how has a simple wooden fort like this stood off a Haydenman army?
With increasing difficulty. The jungle is our protector. The Haydenmen have to get through it to get to us, and while the plant life here has always been somewhat aggressive, it really hates the augmented men. In fact, when the Haydenmen first tried to attack us with their ships, the plant life practically dismantled them in midair. By the time they get to us, they're already exhausted and thinned out by what the jungles put them through. And we do have a number of true warriors here. Some were Marines before their condition was diagnosed. They've made good teachers. And we also have 2 Sisters of Glory.
Bloody hell. The warrior nuns? I'd back 2 Sisters of Glory against an army of Haydenmen, no problem. I'd even give odds.
Owen saw Moon's puzzled frown. There's something new appeared while you were still dead. The Sisters of Glory are nuns who used to be part of the old church's Brotherhood of Steel, a semi-mystical order within an order, trained to the peak of perfection in all martial arts. The old church used them as internal police, debt collectors, and for scaring the crap out of the ungodly. After Mother Beatrice reformed the church, most of the Brotherhood were up on charges for atrocities, mass murder, and being massively politically incorrect. So the Mother Superior revamped the few survivors as the Sisters of Glory, and gave them a new mission in life. To fight, to put an end to fighting. Protect the weak and the needy. Die fighting that others might live. The last warriors in a pacifistic church. The order tends to attract, extreme types.
Very diplomatically put.
Actually, they're mostly a bunch of homicidal headbangers with strong self-destructive tendencies, and I just wanted a place I could put them all so I could keep an eye on them. To my surprise, they've turned out to be very good at what they do. They've established themselves as the church's strong right arm, defenders of the faith and feared and respected fighters. Still a little too keen to martyr themselves for the cause, but I suppose that goes with the territory. Anyway, you'll meet them later.
Oh, good. Two more homicidal women in my life. Just what I needed.
What was that? Don't mumble, Sir Deathstalker. It's a very annoying habit. Now then, we seem to be in a quiet phase at the moment, so why don't you all take a walk through our little community? It'll be good for their morale, and we'll give you some idea of the kind of people you'll be fighting alongside. Don't be nervous of them. Bits of them won't fall off if you speak too loudly, and you can't catch it just by shaking hands. They're just people. I should split up into ones or twos. You'll be less intimidating that way. It's not every day we get living legends walking among us. Be back here in an hour, and there'll be a hot meal ready. Now be off with you. I have my rounds to make in the infirmary.